Hello, dog fans, and welcome to Dog Thoughts. I'm Tyson Allenbaugh, and it is a victory Sunday. The Huskies beat the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors 52-20 yesterday evening, at Husky Stadium. The 23rd-ranked Huskies improved to 2-1 on the season. And with me, as always, are my co-hosts Kayla Olin and Mike Martin. Kayla, Mike, how you guys doing?
I was going to let Mike talk first, but I will gladly talk over him. I'm good. It was a great game. It was fun to be at. Finally got some takeaways on the season, and some good stats got racked up.
Mike?
Well, I think it's kind of rude of the Huskies to start the game when not everybody is at the table, because I was on I'd just gotten out of broadcasting a high school football game, and it was right around kickoff. I called my wife to let her know that I was on my way, and I'm flying down 520. I turn on the game, and the Huskies had already scored their first touchdown. Then I get to there's nobody on 520, so I was just flying. And I get to the parking. I pay for the parking, and I turn the radio back on. They've scored their second touchdown. And then I am walking to the stadium, and I have to go to the bathroom really bad. I go to the bathroom, and all of a sudden you hear the siren go off and the fireworks are going. I'm like, are you serious? And they scored their third touchdown before I was even seated.
Hey, that's the story of the first half. The Huskies race out to a 38-7 first half lead. Jacob Eason, obviously sort of the catalyst in that first half, throwing touchdowns to Hunter Bryant. Who else? Puka Nacua, of course, and I believe Aaron Fuller as well. And I don't think they're missing anybody else. But with Sean McGrew adding a touchdown run, and then obviously Big Richard Newton, propelling the Huskies to a 38-7 lead. Unfortunately, the Hawaii makes a sort of a game of it. Scores two touchdowns to start the second half. In fact, the Huskies only ran, I believe, 5 plays in the third quarter. But once they got the ball back, basically they asserted their dominance in the fourth quarter. 11 plays, 75 yards, 6 plays, 31 yards after another interception. Makes their lead 52-20, covering the spread. And, just a heck of a game for Jacob Eason. Obviously, we're going to get more into it, but just the counting stats alone, like Kayla mentioned, 18-25 for 262 and 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Savon Ahmed, 8 for 83. Sean McGrew, 8 for 63. Richard Newton, 8 for 29, but along with 3 touchdowns. Hunter Bryant, 5 for 115 in a TD. Aaron Fuller, 5 for 55 in a TD. And then obviously Puka Nacua, 1 catch, 28 yards, and 1 touchdown. But overall, quick thoughts, you kind of sort of mentioned it off the top there, Kayla, that for the offense at least, able to rack up some stats. And obviously, opponent be damned, but I mean, if they're going to do it, might as well do it that way.
I was super happy with the way the offense came out firing. You could tell that they were upset from the loss last week to people we do not name anymore on this show. And at one point, I was even wondering what a school record was for amount of yards put up in one game, just because I think going into the half, it was over 300 yards, something around 330-ish.
Yeah, I think it was like 330, because on the television, it was, I think the Huskies had 340 total against Cal, and I think after the first half, they had like 330. Anyways, not starting.
It was insanely stupid. Yeah. No, it's totally fine. But it was insanely stupid how while the offense was playing, and then kind of like you mentioned, only getting about 5 plays in the third quarter, Hawaii definitely controlled the time of possession, having almost 35 and a half minutes compared to Washington's 24 and a half. They did a lot with the time that they had, and they moved the ball down way better than they did last week.
Mike, offense?
Well, the thing that I like what they're doing with Hunter Bryant, and I want to see more of Puka Nacua in passes, because I think they're going to make the other receivers better when you can have a true number one, true number two in the passing. But let's look at that rushing attack. Savon, Sean, and Richard, they all had 3 carries each for, what is it? They averaged 7.5. 3 yards per carry with just those three, with throwing it out everybody else that had a carry. It was 6.1 yards a carry for the game. But you know, with all of those guys, you have 175 yards on 24 carries and three TDs. That is a three-headed monster that I think when we thought we were going to put on the tape is what we were going to see this season. We just weren't sure if it was going to materialize. But in this game, at least, they were able to come out with a balanced attack on offense and defense. Rushing and passing.
Yes, and the running back situation, as of right now, sort of feels a little bit like 2014, which, you know, was a kind of a there was a lot of guys who carried the ball back then. Remember Shaq Thompson, Deontay Cooper, Dwayne Washington, even LaVon Coleman a little bit. I mean, it was sort of a mystery each week who was going to carry the ball, and in a way it's kind of ending up like that this year, and it's working out so far to their favor. Obviously, Savon had a decent game against that team down in Berkeley, but defensively, I was a little disappointed, obviously, with the three straight possessions, three straight scores. I do want to give credit to Hawaii in that their style is unique, and that it's not an excuse, but man, it is just as a fan watching it. It is different. It is ball control through the air, and when it's working, it is annoying as hell to watch. So credit to them, but obviously I think that finally getting some turnovers was nice, but I just was really disappointed in that third quarter, and some of that I think is growing pain. Some of that is, I think, personnel issues, which I think we're going to get to a little bit later. But Mike, what say you on the defense?
The defense, you know, what is it about the third quarter? Last year, it was the offense coming out flat and not scoring on their opening drive or even the first quarter. This year, it seems to be the defense. In back-to-back weeks, they gave up their first drive was 14 plays, 93 yards. And to start the third quarter, ate up 5 minutes and 43 seconds. The second drive of the third quarter was 14 plays, 53 yards, eating up 6:21. In both of those drives, they were able to put touchdowns on the board. Hawaii ran 81 plays to what that other team from Berkeley ran last week, which was 52.
Right.
And it came on the back of those two long drives. So they have to wake up coming out of that locker room. Whatever they are doing in the first quarter now, they need to do that in with the defense in the third quarter.
Kayla?
I think that to kind of piggyback off of what Mike had said, and the defense let Hawaii go 3 for 3 on fourth down efficiency. And the reason why Hawaii did such a great job is because the defense was giving up too much yardage. And so when it came down to third down or fourth down, is usually third and one or fourth and short, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And so definitely need that, I think, needs to be addressed. Overall, I was pretty happy with how Washington contained the run game with Hawaii, just because I felt like that was the biggest letdown for the defense of Washington last season. And so to kind of hold them to 141 yards when they had a total of 395 is really good. And overall, really happy with the way that the Huskies were tackling and not really as many missed tackles against Hawaii as they did against Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was the first thing my father and I said was, the tackling seems a heck of a lot better. Now, some of that's due to the level of athlete that you're going against, but also
yes.
Clearly there was a point of emphasis, right? And they did rebound in that regard. And like I always say about these games, Mike and I said it after their game against Eastern, you know, these games are kind of lose-lose in a way, because if you win, well, you're supposed to win. And if you lose, well, then you lost. And if you know, it's basically in the context, for the most part, exiting this game, and we'll talk about special teams, and I'll include this in here, is definitely not perfect, definitely a lot of work to do. But as far as rebounding, I was at least I wasn't mad. I thought they rebounded fairly well, even though I'm still disappointed in a few things. And by the way, impressed with Tim Horn. Still think I'm now I see why they recruited that kid. Now do I wish they had to give him a scholarship? No, but difference maker on kickoff, seemingly.
I don't think you can pass up on a guy like that. I think that is getting a kind of a 6'2", 220-pound receiver that can run a 4.4. You just can't pass up that.
The Dogs had more touchbacks in the game last week and this week than all of last season. So I'm happy with him.
It's, yeah, the kick returns, you know, the coverage left a little bit to be desired on one of them. There was a 36-yard return. But the punt returns, I thought Whitford punted okay. Clearly, again, they're better this year than they were last year. And honestly, they were so bad last year, I just thought even getting to below average on special teams would be a plus. And, oh, Peyton Henry made his only field goal of the day. So, I don't know, I guess I'd give it a B+ on the special teams if I had to give it a grade.
The punting, they punted three times. You know, he didn't pound it. He was averaging about 50 yards a punt. Whitford was so far this season, but he punted as many times this game as he did the entire season so far. But yeah, the special teams, they, you know, I want to see the amount of attention that they gave to turning around special teams as they can put into maybe solving a little bit of things, tackling. But I think that part of the tackling comes from what Coach Pete does to protect his players in fall camp, because he doesn't want to win spring. He doesn't want to win fall camp. And so I think it takes a couple of days or a couple of games to really kind of remember how to tackle everything correctly, tackle a guy in motion, tackle, you know, just – I think that that's the problem with having Cal that early in the season was there were a lot of missed tackles, not wrapping up, thinking they can take him down with their shoulder like they would do in practice. So, but I want to revisit real quick, going back to going back to the defense, was that Hawaii did a great job of managing the down and distance. It was very sort of a, because it was never like a fourth and 12 that they converted. It was always fourth and one, fourth and two. And they always had one play that they could put in there that they could get it. And they were 3 for 3. They were 7 for 16 on third down. So it basically comes up to they were 10 for 16 on those. You know, I was very impressed with Hawaii, but Washington's ability to kind of contain them and minimize what they're able to do, and Hawaii did a great job of taking what was there.
Yeah. Moving on though, let's go to questions unanswered, because there are still some, and you know, the program's to the point now where there's limited moral victories. And in fact, I'll just say right now, there's no such thing as a moral victory anymore. Either you win the game or you don't. You can't just always acknowledge the good. You definitely got to acknowledge the bad, or in this case, the questions. And, Mike, one of the things that you wanted to talk about, and I'm going to tee it up to you, is, and I think this is a very good question, is the Husky offense just feasting on bad defenses so far this year?
And I think we figure it out against BYU. They shredded Eastern as they should have. They shredded Hawaii as they should have. But they struggled to put points on the board. They put points on the board. They just didn't put enough efficiency behind the numbers to get touchdowns than field goals. They did against Hawaii, but BYU is a different animal. They just knocked off USC. USC is always going to have better athletes than BYU. BYU's athletes are going to be, 25, 26 years old. So playing BYU on the road, that's a very good defense. And we'll get to see, I think, just the kind of offense that we can expect out of this team for the rest of the year.
Kayla, BYU, tough place to play. One thing I do, I will say, I agree with Mike on all this. Their defense is not as good as Cal, definitely better than Hawaii's and Eastern's. The one thing I'm, I don't want to say concerned about, but the one thing I'll be interested in is the energy level from the BYU Cougars. And I know this is, we're kind of getting to on second thought territory here, but, you know, how does BYU's defense react? Are they going to be, you know, they rushed the field yesterday after beating USC. Are they going to be able to bring it? You know, I'm serious though. It's like, are they going to be able to bring it for another week, their fourth straight Power Five opponent? But regardless, they're infinitely more talented, not infinitely, they're much more talented than, let's like Mike said, Cal and Hawaii. Or, sorry, Eastern and Hawaii. Oh, God, weird.
For everybody that doesn't understand what's going on, before the show, Tyson swore he would never say the three letters together, C-A-L.
Yes.
And here we are. I think we're counting at five now.
I know.
But BYU is definitely going to come in with some momentum, that sense of, we just knocked off a Pac-12 school, let's do it again. We're at home in front of the home team, and this is going to be Washington's first road game of the season coming in week four. Kind of weird, but it'll be a great test for those younger kids who are getting their start on defense, the 9 out of 11. To see how they kind of handle the BYU crowd. And so I think BYU is going to be the next, I would say the third hardest defense that Washington will face. I'm going to put Utah above them.
Yes.
And so it's going to be a great transition, but I don't think that Washington can sleep on a non-Power 5 BYU, because like you said, they are fairly good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're not... I would say they're about a middle at this point. They're about, you know, they're in this weird limbo of like being.
I would compare them to an ASU.
Yes,
they're not horrible, but they're not.
They're a team the Huskies should definitely beat, but they're gonna they're gonna be challenging because they just because, you know, they have good players too. But
and the rivalry goes so far back with BYU and Washington as well.
Exactly, and what I said in my preview show is that I'm gonna say this offense is, you know, okay. Until it proves to me that it's, or it's good, you know, good, whatever that means. But I'm not going to think it's great until it proves to me that it's great. Here's a good example of a chance to go into BYU, smoke them, score 30, you know, beat them 35 to what, 7 last year at home? Beat them 35 to 7 or 35 to 14 or 42 to 21, whatever.
Yeah, it was 7 before the muffed punt. Chico's muffed punt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if the offense, hey, you want to start answering some questions, smoke BYU. There you go. So that's basically my opinion, because I do have a part of me feels like they are feasting on some bad defenses. And, you know, some of this has to do with another question that I answered is the wide receivers. And I'm going to kind of take the steering wheel here, guys, that I'm echoing, you know, you see a lot of the sentiment on Twitter, and it's not, and I really don't like to talk trash about college kids because for a myriad of reasons that we're not going to get into here. But the truth of the matter is, just on the field, just playing the game wise, it is not going to be enough if Andre Bocelli and Aaron Fuller are the only receivers. I would guess yesterday, out of 100% of the snaps, they were on the field for 85% of them. That is not going to get it done, because number one, when you play college football, plays a ton of plays, you should be rotating guys more. Number two, I've seen this show. You know, this is a rerun, right? This is an old episode of Friends. I know what's going to happen when these guys get the ball for the most part. So the big thing to me, Kayla, is, you know, Puka scores, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Puka coming up, but I'm struggling with the fact that for whatever reason, the Huskies only seem to play four, and some of it's injuries and all that, and I get it, but basically you see only Kate Otten, Hunter Bryant, which I'm okay with, Aaron Fuller, Andre Bocelli, and Chico McClatcher. I love Chico, but again, they're only playing five guys on offense, and they just feel so limited unless it's a bust or Jacob Eason makes a perfect throw. Does that make sense?
Most definitely. And I think that Washington's offense this season compared to last season, because it's still fairly early on in the season, I'm going to compare a lot to last season. I know it's different quarterback, that type of thing, but Hunter Bryant was the only tight end utilized yesterday. And so if you're not incorporating those tight ends, you can basically always guarantee that Aaron Fuller is going down the sideline or towards the end zone in the corner. Andre is going to go up the middle. It's something that that I think is very easy to read. And so I definitely agree with you with this whole wide receivers and not rotating enough, but put Puka Nacua in and his first target, first touch is a touchdown. And so getting those other newer players in who have a little bit more height, especially when you're playing those taller DBs, I think could really benefit Washington. And so I agree with everything you're saying.
I saw, Mike, some people I think I was listening to the Honks or somebody, you know, they're asking about the bubble screens and stuff. I actually like the idea of a bubble screen in the abstract, right, with somebody like Eason, because that dude gets the ball out there so damn quick that it's really hard as a defender to plant and, you know, react. But the fact of the matter is, our wide receivers right now have this unique ability to run directly into a defender. And it almost feels like they're surprised how quickly the ball is getting there. And again, some of that stuff is, you know, it's just a different quarterback. But here's the deal. If they're not used to it, why wasn't he getting all the reps? Why was he splitting him with Jake Haener in fall camp then? Because, I don't know. This stuff has just become, even when you score 52 points and you just feel like you left, you know, another two touchdowns on the table, it's just frustrating.
Well, with those bubble screens, when you have, you know, I don't like to talk crap about players, especially Washington players, but Bocelli and Fuller, they whiff on their blocks on those bubble screens and those tunnel screens. But the thing that does happen, though, is it gave Puka Nacua a single defender on him, because he does the pump fake to the bubble screen and he finds Puka down in the end zone. So, you know, while it may give you a 5 yard here, 3 yards there, a 4 yard loss, it did produce a touchdown off of a beautiful pump fake by Jacob Eason.
Absolutely. And like I said, I overall in the abstract like those the way they're using the bubble screen this year, because of the circumstances at quarterback. I think it's pretty unique when a guy can get the ball out there that quickly. I just don't think the wide receivers are, like you said, doing enough with it. But another position on defense, we know the front seven has had some struggles, some of it's youth. I think those guys will figure it out, and I also have faith they'll figure it out, right? You know, it's same with the secondary, some issues, right? But the inside backer play, I've saw it's between, you know, the two seniors in Wellington and Manu, and then Tafisi and Sermon. Those guys just look, to be honest, they look lost, Mike. And basically, you know, we knew there was going to be a drop-off from BBK and whoever was playing next to him, right, from last year to this year. But so far through three games, I'm just not sure what the answer is, because as much as I want Sermon and Tafisi to take the job, and I think they will by the end of the season, folks, I think they will, it's just going to worry me, particularly when we face teams that can throw the ball like Hawaii, right? Hawaii can, if there's one thing Hawaii can do, they can throw the ball. Well, when you start getting into the meat of Pac-12 play, when you play Stanford, KJ Costello can throw the ball too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and at halftime, the top four defenders for Washington were all defensive backs. Now, part of that is a product of Hawaii being a pass heavy team and playing from behind, but it also by, you know, you had Kyler Gordon with 9 tackles, Keith Taylor with 9 tackles, Elijah Molden with 6 tackles. Those are your top three guys. And somehow, I think unbeknownst to anybody else, our buddy Eddie Ulofoshoyo wound up with 5 tackles.
I think three of them were on kickoff return or kickoff, by the way. That dude's a demon.
Oh, hey, yeah. Okay. So you pull him out of there, and for the top 5 guys in total tackles are the defensive backs. So, you know, You gotta have one of those guys, the linebackers, Manu, Wellington. They really need to step up, because Miles Bryant made that defense look a whole lot better yesterday with taking the ball away twice. So you know, there's something that has to shake out in those linebackers. Somebody needs to step up, just like we're looking for somebody to step up in the receivers. I think this is just as maybe a little bit bigger of a question mark, I think, for most of Husky Nation right now.
Yeah, and Kayla, I think the concerning part is, like I said, it's not that, you know, it's, I guess, how do I say this? The issue is, it's not only that they're struggling, right? But we don't even have proof of, we have barely any proof of concept, though, either with these guys, right? So it's not like these guys have been good before. They're just having a tough go right now, which sometimes happens, right? That happens, and we all go through funks, right? Or it's a tough matchup, you know, yada, yada, yada. I mean, basically coming into the season, while I liked Wellington as a player, we hadn't seen a lot of him, right? Manu, we had nothing on him. And then between Tafisi and Sermon, those are basically our only four inside linebackers that are healthy and able to play. We have nothing on them, and they're just struggling. And it's going to concern me, again, particularly against passing teams. BYU runs sideline. They're a lateral team. They don't concern me as much in this regard. But, I mean, going forward, you got to think big picture. This is a big-time question.
And I think that it needs to, I don't know how, I mean, I'm so glad that Washington got some interceptions. Finally, it's about time. But how helpful is it for these linebackers to think Miles Bryant's going to, you know, kind of take care of the middle for us two interceptions later? And so whether it's even working in some of the younger classmen when you get a chance, I don't know, because it's a huge question, especially when there's not set to, like you said, we still don't know who's going to for sure have that full starting job.
Yeah, and there's no numbers. Yeah. There's no guys behind him. Tupatala, Alfonso Tupatala, and then obviously our guy Eddie. But, I mean, like, then at,
it's
at
scary.
That,
it's it, scary.
Yeah, and he's a redshirt freshman, and then Tupatala's another freshman. I mean, this is where you're feeling DJ Beavers. This is where you're feeling Kaho. You know, this is where you're feeling Eifler, Milo. I mean, you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda on some of that stuff, but this is the result of that, folks. So just anytime everybody tells you recruiting doesn't matter, yada, yada, if anybody ever says that recruiting doesn't matter or they don't, it, you know, whatever, just point to this situation where you have two seniors who you don't know if that can play and then two freshmen and nothing in between. I mean, they're like
that. And just a lot of years of questionability.
a lot of years of eligibility between them. Anyways, okay, big picture stuff. The big picture, and I think coming out of this game, I think we all knew it, but it's always nice to see, though, Kayla, is Hunter Bryant back on track. Now, I cringe every time he gets tackled. And that's what, you know,
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
No, my dad and I were talking like, God, every time he gets tackled, I'm afraid his knee's, you know, going to be on this, you know, get twisted around or some crap like that. But, you know, clearly Hunter's the guy they're going to offensively when they really need it. You know what I mean? When they need something, he's going to be their guy. But how much going forward do you think not only just Hunter, but also, you know, we kind of talked about it in questions unanswered, but, we'll just say one guy's name, and that's Puka Nacua. You know, how can they, in the big picture, get him more involved? Because Peterson's comments after the game is about, you know, learn the offense, yada, yada, yada. It's like, really? So is the offense so freaking hard that you can't really throw out Puka and have him go make plays? My God, I mean, he's not Reggie Williams, but I find it hard to believe that Reggie Williams can just show up on day one, and he's the only guy in Husky history to show up on day one and actually contribute as a true freshman. Anyways, sorry, I'm getting mad.
No, I think that Hunter definitely will help the tight ends get a little bit better, especially because against Hawaii averaged 23 yards reception. So outstanding numbers from him. He came up big when, I'm pretty sure it was the same drive when Andre Bocelli dropped two passes at his chest back to back, and then Hunter came up on third down and converted for the Huskies. But I also saw a statement that Puka wasn't even Eason's first target. He had done his checks a couple other times before finally finding him. And so I think if Puka gets the opportunity to really show that he is a good receiver and he can play just as well as a freshman, he didn't get that chance to come in early and have that spring training with a bunch of other kids, I think that he will make them better just because Coach Pete has made it clear that the best will play. Seniority doesn't matter. But right now, I think that's a question for me.
Does it? Yeah, I was just going to say that. The thing is, and there might be some levels to this stuff, but in that, Mike, in that they're just – they're really trying to ride the wave. I don't know. That's kind of – I'm not even sure if that's a real metaphor or analogy here. Early on in the season with some of these older guys, and whether hoping, coaching, praying, you know, whatever, to get some of these younger guys on both offense and defense to step the hell up or at least be comfortable with the coaches, comfortable enough for them to play, because I just – it's baffling to me that, you know, that you have – you've recruited all this talent. I mean, think of how many receivers they've signed over the last couple of years, and not one of them can see the freaking field? Really?
Yeah, there's not a red shirt to protect for anybody except Puka Nacua, and he's the first one to answer the bell. Spiker, you know, he's going to be okay. Osborne, I think we're going to see him kind of really step up. I think that Washington in a lot of these situations, like I was saying earlier, I think it's going to come down to being a complete receiver and a guy that just not can burn deep, but can block underneath and make the other receivers better, not just by being like Hunter Bryant or Puka, where they're the best receiver on the field, making all the other receivers better, but they have to make each other better with good quality blocking. And I saw way too many whiffs on blocking from the other receivers.
That's the thing. It's like, and so I'm struggling with the rationale then. So whatever's going on in practice, like maybe they're lining up, you know, facing the wrong direction or something at this point, because this I just have a hard time believing. And if it takes 4 years to understand an offense, then what are we doing here? All right, because they only get five, right? So I don't know. I'm just having a hard time with it. I do hope that there's a certain sense of urgency, right? That from the freshmen on the seniors, it doesn't feel that way at this moment, but you know, the season is long, and you know, we might, you know, by game six, this might not even be, you know, we'll forget we even had this conversation, right? So, anything else big picture wise, Mike?
Big picture wise is the Wildcat. I know there was a lot of whining, but when you see about it yesterday because of other games, but when you have Richard Newton, who has 8 carries, 29 yards, but he has 3 touchdowns. I think he had 2 out of the Wildcat. His longest carry was 8 yards. You know, I think, you know, how are they going to use Richard Newton in the Wildcat? You know, I think the big picture is, are the running backs really, are they going to everyone get 8 carries in every single game? Or is there a guy that can really kind of carry the payload for the season?
Yeah.
Or do they even need it?
Yeah, it might be one of those years, because something that I saw on social media, I can't remember who did it, and it's really going to drive me nuts because they deserve credit. It basically, well, it's true, though. I don't want to steal somebody's idea, right? But they said, you know, Richard Newton, you know, they showed an example of him struggling in pass pro, and, like, that's what made Myles Gaskin so special, right? Is, like, it's not just the running stuff, because, you know, running, you know, they can all, you know, for the most, they're at UW. They can all run the ball for the most part, right? It's, can you be a pass protector? Can you do all those other things that we just don't associate running backs with? And I think, and I'm wondering if it's going to take a season. And like you said, Mike, maybe nobody steps up in that regard, and it becomes sort of a, you know, split the carries 3 ways, or, you know, the ride the hot hand game to game. But as far as the Wildcat, as far as I'm concerned, before we move on to shout outs, is the only thing I don't like about it particularly is that they have Jacob Eason on the field. Honestly, just take him off at this point. You know what I mean? If we know he's not going to run a route, he's basically doing it to occupy a defender, just put a receiver out there then. You know what I mean? Because what's he going to do standing on the sideline that he could, or standing, you know, on next to the sideline that he couldn't do on the sidelines? And if you get a receiver in there, at least that's maybe one more guy that could catch the ball. Am I crazy for thinking this? I just think it's so asinine if you're going to do it. And this isn't even a Washington thing, because this is how they run the Wildcat in other places. I don't know. I I'm not tired of it. I just think they do it in such predictable ways that I get a, that's where that bothers me.
Well, the, right. I think that part of that is that we hate the bubble screens, but it sets up something else down the road. You know, they keep thinking, oh, bubble screen coming up. And then you pop one to Nacua. You see Richard Newton in the Wildcat. He's 6'1", so he has some bigger hands, and they like those guys to can do multiple things on those gadget plays. You know, everybody buys in like you. Oh, Eason's not going to do anything, and then Richard does one of those little jump passes to Eason over the middle for a touchdown. I can see that, you know, something like that eventually coming.
Well, that's what they did in the Rose Bowl. Gaskin had, I don't think, had thrown one pass in his entire Husker career until that first touchdown in the Rose Bowl when he threw it to Jermaine Bowl. So you know, Mike, you're not wrong. I'll just say.
I'm not wrong until I am.
Yeah, exactly. No. Kayla, did you have something?
I was kind of just going to say, I can't remember who it is, but he was a backup quarterback and basically.
Lindquist. You're talking about the Lindquist.
Yes. Yes.
Or the Lindcat.
And
that was horrible.
I mean, it's one of those things where, let's be honest, Jacob Sermon is not going to, he's playing every game, maybe, you know, he's not going to preserve any red shirt or anything like that. And so maybe make him a little bit more versatile or throw him in if you kind of want the defense to get a little bit mixed up, or I don't know.
I understand what you're getting at though. Like,
yeah,
be just a little bit less. You know, it just if we like we said, Mike is not wrong in that. It could set up something very much down the road because we watched Myles Gaskin run the Wildcat for 3 years and he threw one pass. So yes, in theory, it could set up something. Kayla, you could be right. Hey, let's I think we're all saying the same thing in a way. It's just it's while the production in terms of touchdowns has been good, it's just. It just feels so unimaginative and so 2008, right?
The last thing I kind of really like want to say on that, in my opinion, is they're talking about Coach Pete specifically saying, you know, they're still learning the offense, they're still learning this, they're still learning that. But I feel like Bush Hamden's play calling, or Washington is in general, is just very predictable, and so I'm questioning why they feel these younger receivers aren't ready or hadn't learned the playbook yet when I know the playbook for gosh darn sake.
Yeah, it seems like they run the same 8 plays. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know. This year is going to be interesting. All right. Time for shout outs. And this is meant to, it's sort of a new segment here. Basically, shouting out could be anything, the weather, the refs, a player, a play, your partner, your best friend, whatever. I'm going to shout out Sean McGrew because I think that dude is nails, man. That dude, I think, you know, he was the California State Player of the Year coming out of high school. Obviously, you know, he was recruited pretty heavily, but it's not like for somebody who went to St. John Bosco and won that accolade was not like, you know, nobody's going to confuse him for, who is it, Najee Harris, who plays for Alabama, who was also a California kid. But you know, sat behind Myles Gaskin last year, filled in admirably when Myles was hurt. This year has just been running tough as hell. I mean, again, Hawaii aside, that dude was falling forward yesterday, and that touchdown run was excellent. I think he's good. They definitely try to throw to him. They definitely try, out of all the running backs, they try to, him and Savon, they try to throw the ball to on those little swing passes. I just really like Sean. I like his attitude. He's like the type of program guys that you really admire and appreciate. And I hope he gets more run this year. That's all.
Well, and I want to follow up on that, Tyson, because in my behind the numbers, I'm going to be talking about him a little bit. But McGrew, like you were saying, he shows some tough interior running. He didn't just make guys miss in space. But he made guys miss in tight spaces, and that's special. But I just wish that touchdown run that he had, he was in third gear. He hadn't even hit the clutch on the fourth gear, and he was in the end zone. And I wish that run had come from the other 25 and not their own, not the Hawaii's 25, because I want to see that guy hit top speed. Because you go back and watch him in high school when he was in the open field, he was untouchable.
Absolutely. Kayla, who's your shout out? Or what is your shout out, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of also want to piggyback on Sean McGrew just real quickly because, I mean, he's not going to be my shout out, but last season with Dante Pettis not being there, not really having much kick return or punt return. But Sean McGrew has looked outstanding on those kick returns with his longest of 24 yards. He's just been turning them out. So I'm glad that you have him as your shout out, definitely. My shout outs got to go to, I'd probably say, the pyrotechnicians. Just because literally the same drive, three touchdowns, we celebrate them. And then they take them away because they have to look for an incomplete pass or not really sure. So we have to do it again. And then there's a holding. So you got to do it again. And those pyrotechnicians aren't ready for that many touchdowns within 20 seconds each. But it kept the atmosphere fun, especially with Washington fans kind of being a little bit more chill just when they had such a comfortable lead. And so it makes it a great setting. And that's why Washington is the greatest setting in college football.
There you go. Mike?
Well, I want to just very quickly, I like what Kayla had to say there, but I want to go back to Sean McGrew. He was the guy with the most total yards, all-purpose yards. He had 124, Hunter Bryant had 115. So, Kayla, you brought up something really good. Reginald. But Sean McGrew, he's lighting up the scoreboard and setting off those fireworks Kayla was talking about. But the defense, I know that everybody is kind of scratching their head about the defense. But the one thing that they were great about last year was giving up drives, a lot of yards. But the reason they were the number one defense in the conference and I think something like fifth in the country in scoring was that they kept the plays in front of them. And yesterday, Hawaii is an explosive team. Their longest play was 22 yards. They only had one play over 20 yards. They had three receptions, two for 15, one for 19. They had three rushes for 11, 11, and 12. So the defense, although we scratched our head on some of the stuff, I think that there are some signs that maybe they are starting to take shape.
That's a good perspective. The sky is not completely falling. There's obviously, like we mentioned, some unanswered questions, but that's some good perspective, Mike. I definitely appreciate that. All right, we're gonna wrap things up with some awards, and I'm gonna start off with the play of the game, and then Mike, you can do the player of the game, and then defensive player of the game can be you, Kayla. Play of the game,
yes,
is Puka Nacua, and you know, one catch for 28 yards and a touchdown. You know, maybe this is why you don't just read the box scores, ladies and gentlemen. You watch the game, and in the context of everything, first catch, I believe it was his first target and his first catch of the season, if I'm not mistaken, goes for a touchdown. Like Kayla mentioned, Jacob said it was his second or third read. I took that to mean as in his progression, that's not the first receiver he looks at. Well, if you go back and look, Terrell Bynum, who seemingly what would be his first in his progression, was wide open. He said, F it, I'm going deep, and he threw it to the young stud, one of the highest-rated wide receiver recruits UW's ever brought in, and he made a heck of a catch, and Eason basically walked it to him. That's the kind of stuff that Husky fans, you know, go to bed when they lay their head on the pillow at night. That's what they dream about, is plays like that, and we just have not seen enough of them in terms of wide receiver making a play, quarterback making a play, and really excited for him, and he was obviously jacked after that. And you saw the sidelines too; they were excited for him. And one last note: I do think this team likes each other, which is good. I thought the body language on the team last year was not that great, and I thought there was some, I don't know, whatever. This year, these kids seem to really like each other, probably because they're all the same age. There's like only four seniors on the team, so they all got recruited together. But they just look jacked for him, and I'm excited for him. And I really can't wait to see what he's got in store. Mike?
Well, the player of the game, I think, pretty obviously, just because it's the quarterback, but Jacob Eason was 18 for 25. He had a couple of drops, or he would have had, I think he'd have been 21, 22 for 25. His QBR was 199. And Kayla, you're going to like this little fun fact. His quarterback rating for the entire game was 199. He threw for 199 yards in the first half.
I do like that. And I think it's, again, kind of a full circle for that one on offense starting out super quickly and then dying off a little bit. But 199 yards in the first half is outstanding, and I was happy to see that. But
defensive player of the game, Kayla?
Yeah, I think it's better than the player of the game, and I'm glad you didn't take him, Mike, because I'm saying Miles Bryant, obviously. The first interception in the first quarter gave Washington huge momentum to score off of that. And then the way that he, I mean, it was an interception, but he ripped that ball out of the receiver's hands. He is out for blood. He's mean. I'm so glad that he's here as a senior and being a big leader for that defense right now, especially with a lot of newer guys needing that. And I think he was just outstanding.
And where would that defense be? Because sorry to interrupt you, Tyson, but you know, there were some draft projections that put him in the fifth or sixth round. If he had actually taken that, where would this defense be? But the one thing that I think that I loved, I'm sure you both saw the call of Kyler Manu the week before, where he drills that guy out of bounds and he says, "What do you mean you don't have any more Popeye's chicken sandwiches?" That where Bryant, like Kayla was talking about, rips the ball out. That was like, I thought the call of the game should have been, "Give me that Popeye's chicken sandwich."
Well, I've never had Popeye's, so I don't know.
God, jeez Louise. Okay.
If it's not one thing with me, it's another, right, Tyson?
I'm not ending the show with that. Okay. It's good. Popeye's is good. Okay. Oh my God. Louisiana Kitchen, get out of here. All right. The last thing on Miles Bryant. He's playing I'm going to call it the Taylor Rapp position, even though you could call it the Buda Baker position, whatever, yada, yada, yada. But him blitzing, like you said, creating turnovers, playing just with a ton of energy and playing with attitude. And also, like, he knows there is a difference with the speed he's playing at. And part of it is the freshmen are still learning. Him and Molden play the fastest on defense, and that's because they know what the hell is going to – they study like hell. They got great instincts, and they also just have a ton of experience and just have that kind of that football intangibles that you can't really necessarily coach in, or some of it you can't really coach. And I'm just really excited. I think he's understandably got picked on, you know, by both Husky fans and opposing defenses when he's been in the slot. But as that undersized safety kind of being moved around, I think they might have unlocked something there. I really do. And especially when they're playing a team that's four wide every game. I mean, the Huskies were in dime. They basically had 60 Bs on the field the almost the entire game yesterday, Mike. And I think if the Huskies are playing that many DBs, it lets Coach Lake and Coach K maybe dial up some stuff you wouldn't normally see with Miles Bryant being the featured player.
Right, and Kyler Gordon had a little bit of a rough final drive against Cal. He was the leading tackler. He's another one of those young DBs starting to, I think, find himself and learn from the film and stuff like that. He had 9 tackles, 6 solo, and a pass breakup. He didn't fill out the score card like Miles Bryant, who had 4 tackles, 4 solos, a sack, a tackle for loss, and the 2 interceptions.
But anyways, yeah, Kyler, after, like you said, having a rough game against you-know-who, bounced back. I mean, you know, they're going to give – guys, there's a reason why he's on the field now, that he's going to grow into it. Just like we saw Sydney make some mistakes, and we saw some of those other younger guys. We've seen this story before, you know, with the reruns with the wide receivers. I'm a little tired of those reruns. These reruns where I get to watch the DBs grow up, I'm a little bit more excited, right? to torture that TV analogy. But awesome. Excellent show. Remember to rate and review and subscribe on iTunes. Be sure to share this with all your friends, all your Husky fans, friends and family. Got a ton of content coming for you throughout the season. Obviously, On Second Thought coming up later this week. I got the preview episode. This time, I'm not going to record it in my car.
I like it.
Well, it was just one of those things. I had a lot of stuff to do. And by the way, I'm speaking too soon because I'm also in the process of moving. So maybe I might do it from the back of a U-Haul at this point. So anyways, I just appreciate your patience. And like I said, just keep waiting for that content. Mike and obviously and Kayla will have a lot of it on Second Thought. And then I'll get you up to speed next week on BYU. It's already week 4, guys. It's already week 4.
It is already. BYU?
Okay, until next time, I'm Tyson Allenbaugh. He's Mike Martin. She's Kayla Olin. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.